And I want to welcome you to the I Want to Know More podcast for this week. This week, we're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter number 17. 2 Samuel 17, 23. We've already read this verse. We've already studied this verse. But in the context of the seven recorded suicides in the Word of God, we're going to read this verse again. Verse number 23, 2 Samuel 17. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and gat him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. All right. Now, this is the verse that caused us to go on this journey of looking at these seven suicides recorded in the Word of God. First, the assisted suicide of Abimelech. The motivation? Pride. He didn't want it to be said that a woman had killed him with a millstone. And so he wanted his armor bearer to kill him. He knew that even if he recovered from that millstone, it was going to be an unrecoverable event for him as king. For sure. It just was one of those things. He knew he could not recover, and he'd rather die than to be said a woman killed him. So it was for pride. He had his armor bearer assist him. I don't know what it was. I don't know if he couldn't move his arms. I don't know if it paralyzed him. I don't know what it was. But maybe that's what it did. Maybe when that millstone hit, it hit something and maybe it broke his neck or something. And he's laying there and he can't move. And he says, I beg of you, thrust me through so that it won't be said a woman killed Abimelech. I don't know the details, but it was pride. Pride was the motivation. Then we have Samson. And for Samson, revenge was the motivation. He said, Lord, give me this strength just this once for my two eyes, that I may be avenged of my two eyes. Okay. Revenge. Notice that these motivations, pride and revenge. Revenge is just the flip side of pride. Somebody did something to me, and so I'm wanting to do something to them. And, you know, that was Samson's mode of operation, his M.O. That was his mode of operation. When they came and said, look, you did this and this, he says, well, they did it first. look at the story of Samson. That was his story, was taking revenge. Taking revenge. Revenge on his espoused wife and on her family. And then revenge on those who killed and burned that house with fire. And then revenge again and revenge again. And now, finally, he's getting his final revenge. And suicide as a form of revenge. Getting back at other people by taking your own life. Now, yes, he took a bunch of other lives with him. But it was a suicide for revenge. Then you have Saul. Suicide because of a hopeless situation. He was sore wounded. He was in battle. He was going to die, but he didn't want to die at the hands of the Philistines because he knew that they would torture him. They would do things to him and make him feel every piece of it and make it as tortuous and painful as possible. And so he told his armor bearer, thrust me through. His armor bearer refused. Said, I'm not going to do that. And so Saul did it himself. He said, well, just give me a sword then. And he leaned on the sword and died. And ritual suicide by sword to the stomach is still a famous thing of the samurai, you know, seppuku, made famous by the TV miniseries Shogun back in the mid-70s. That is what Saul did. His situation was hopeless. And to prevent more torture, to prevent the torture of living and dying slowly, he wanted to cut it short. Now, again, I really can't fault Saul very much, because he was in battle, even at his age. Even at the age he was, and he was somewhere between 70 and 80, more than likely. He could not have been much younger than 70. He could have been older than 80. But he went to battle himself. He didn't stay at home. He didn't stay in his own palace. He went to battle. He was the king. He went to battle. I got to give him that. I really do. I've got to give the man that. He had a backbone like Solog. He knew he was going to die. He went anyway. He didn't cower up. He said, all right, let's do this thing. And now he's there. He's sore wounded and in a great deal of pain. And he knows that the Philistines are going to deliver even more pain if they get an opportunity. And so rather than go through more pain, he kills himself. And there are people in this world today that are sore wounded. Sore wounded. And they've took all they can. And they can't take anymore. They're in a hopeless situation. So Abimelech, pride. Samson, revenge. Saul, a hopeless situation. A hopeless situation. The armor bearer was in the same situation Saul was. And he committed suicide for the same reason. That's two in the same situation. The hopeless situation is the most common cause of suicide. Yeah, pride is part of it. Revenge can be part of it. But in many cases, it's just simply, I've stood all I can stand, I can't stand no more, is the cry of the person who commits suicide. And so that's four out of the seven. Now we come to Ahithophel. Now, Ahithophel's story we've already talked about. We've already went through Ahithophel's story. We've looked at it and talked about how he was after revenge. Well, his revenge is thwarted. His best laid plans were thwarted. And now, because of a lack of revenge, he's in a hopeless situation. At least he thinks he is. You know, David probably would have let him live. David let Joab live. David let other people live. David even welcomed Abner back in. Ahithophel would have known all that. Why did he think David would do him differently? No, it's not that. It's that he knew David would make him come and serve. And he would have to stand before David and see him. And he couldn't stand the thoughts. He couldn't stand the thoughts of watching his probable granddaughter, Bathsheba, in that palace with that man raising his kid when it should have been Uriah's kid that she was raising. And he just couldn't stand it. He couldn't stand the thoughts of having to serve that king again. I don't think he was worried about consequences. He knew David was probably not going to do anything to him. He knew that. It was a thing that he understood and knew. And so he was more interested in the fact that he would have to serve under him again, I believe. I believe that was his situation. And Ahithophel's situation is a difficult situation to be in. You know, it's like the guy that is, he's working a job and working a job, and he's worked and worked and worked, and now all of the sudden things are changing and the winds have shifted, and he has gone out on a limb for one particular direction of the company. Maybe the company is a paper mill. And that paper mill, he has invented a new product, and that new product is a special laminate, and it needs the machines like they use for paper. Just adjust it a little bit. It's basically a thicker paper. And he makes that material, and he's invented that, and he's proud of that. And then somebody comes along and sabotages the one batch. Now, the elements of that story come from stories I've heard from a couple of different paper mills, okay, that are no longer in operation. That happens. Everybody can probably give an example from work where they backed the wrong horse, so to speak. They got on the wrong side, and now their entire career is in jeopardy because they picked the wrong team. They picked the wrong side. That's Ahithophel's situation. Put yourself in his shoes. And what would you do? What would you do? What would you do if you knew that because your advice wasn't followed, Absalom was going to lose, David was going to win, David was going to come back triumphal, and it's highly likely David was going to force you to be out of retirement, and you were going to have to see that man who defiled your granddaughter. Well, again, probable granddaughter. We're pretty sure that Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandpa. He couldn't stand the idea. And he had done everything he could to try to protect his granddaughter, but he chose the wrong team. He picked the wrong horse, and now he's going to lose big. Again, I don't think David would have given him consequences. David's track record is one where he doesn't give people consequences. Abner went with Ishbosheth, remember? And David was ready to give the highest position in the army. He was ready to give that to Abner. It's going to happen again, by the way. And we'll get to that when we get to that. David's track record is that he doesn't make people suffer consequences. He's very gracious. He's very forgiving. And he knows because God forgave him. So he is forgiving other people. You know, that's the Lord's Prayer. Below the main part of the Lord's Prayer in the book of Matthew, the Bible expounds on it and says, "For if we do not forgive those who trespass us, God will not forgive us who trespass against him." Or words to that effect. Words to that effect. That's a paraphrase, not a quote. But consider Ahithophel's situation. He's in a situation that he sees no way out of, except having to stand before that hated king and having to do that. So he was going to be in emotional torture. Saul's fear was physical torture, so was the armor bearer. Ahithophel's fear and reason, motivation, is emotional torture. Seeing his granddaughter with that man every day and knowing, and hey, when the king called you into service, you were in service and you were there. Now, Ahithophel was semi-retired. Maybe it was just because there wasn't an active war. I don't know. He had gone home, and Absalom called him out, called him back. And Ahithophel's position, for that matter, any man of warfaring age would be required to come at the king's beck and call. And furthermore, even if you weren't of age, if the king summoned you, you came. You would be forcibly brought before the king if you did not willingly come. When you were summoned by the king, you showed up. That's just the way it was done. And he couldn't stand that idea. And now, would David have done that? David probably, based on the evidence of the Psalms and the evidence of other things, David wasn't thinking about revenge. He knew the vengeance was being taken on him, and he was accepting his punishment, his chastisement. And he writes Psalms about it. He writes a psalm during this time of how he misses the house of the Lord. And that's one of the things we're going to look at. We're going to look at David's exile psalms as part of this study. He wrote about that. He missed the house of God. How wonderful it is to be in the house of the Lord. How marvelous it is to be under His wings. How marvelous it is to be in the courts of the Lord. Because he was missing it. No, I don't think David was going to do anything to Ahithophel. For that matter, he probably didn't want to see the man. But if he did, he was going to probably try to apologize to him. Say, look, I'm sorry. And Ahithophel didn't want to have any of that either, I don't believe. Ahithophel was past that. Ahithophel hated David so much that he was ready to have him killed. And that's what the advice he gave. That's the advice he gave. And David had that advice. He knew that that was the advice that Ahithophel had. And that's why Hushai stayed behind to try to turn the advice of Ahithophel. David knew he was going to give good advice. And at this point, David knows the advice. I don't know exactly what David would have done. But getting even with Ahithophel was probably not it. No, he probably would have wanted him right there. He would have wanted him right in the court. He would have wanted to apologize to him. And Ahithophel wasn't having any of it. He didn't want to see David. He didn't want to talk to David. And he knew the only way he could get away from David is to kill himself. And there are suicides out there today that are because of that reason. Somebody just trying to get away from somebody. And the only way they can get away from them is to kill themselves. Whether it be their bully, or whether it be an abusive spouse, or whether it be whatever it might be. There are suicides that happen simply for the purpose of getting away from a tormentor. So Abimelech assisted suicide due to pride. Samson, suicide for revenge. Saul and his armor bearer, suicide to get away from torment. Ahithophel, suicide to get away from a tormentor. And David's very existence tormented Ahithophel. David just simply being there and being with, again, Ahithophel's probable granddaughter, Bathsheba. And I know I keep saying probable granddaughter, but we don't know for sure. But it's highly likely. Ahithophel is acting that way. And that he got to where he couldn't stand anymore. And that is the common thread in these five suicides thus far. He stood all he could stand. He couldn't stand anymore. Abimelech. He was in battle. That millstone hit him. It did something. Maybe it broke his neck and maybe he couldn't move and he was paralyzed. And he couldn't stand anymore. Samson. He was blind. He no longer had the ability to see the women that he lusted after so badly. Might as well shell down the corn and call it what it is. He lusted after foreign women, and now he couldn't see them. Let's be honest about it. He wasn't doing this to kill other people. He was doing this so he could get out of his torment. and get revenge from his tormentor. You might say Abimelech was self-torment. Samson was the torment of the lust of the eyes. Abimelech, pride of life, I guess, maybe. And then we have Saul and his armor bearer committing suicide so they would not be tortured. The battle was lost. He stood all he could stand. He couldn't stand anymore. He said, I'm done. I'm done. Armor bearer just thrust me through. And the armor bearer says, I can't do that. You're God's anointed. I can't kill you. And Saul says, well, give me a sword then. I'll do it. That's Saul for you. Saul didn't turn about. Saul was tough. Saul was tough, let me tell you. Saul had the proverbial backbone like a saw log. He was out there in battle, as old as he was. Now he's sore wounded, and he knows what the Philistines are going to do. And that is the one thing he fears. And he says, all right, that's fine. I'm just going to end it. I'm done. I'm done. Can't do anymore. The problem is right up until the point where he did that, there was hope for the country because Saul stood. And it looked like he was standing strong, except for the night before at the witch's place, you know. At the place of the witch Endor, he showed his weakness. He was very troubled. But then he did eat something. He got his strength. And now he's going to battle. And he's going to lead his people into battle. He knows it's a lost battle, but he's going to stand anyway. Saul inspired confidence because he stood. And here's the thing. The very person you think might be the strongest, the very person that you might be looking up to as a pillar of strength, may be the very person you find out has committed suicide. And it's harder on the people who are left behind, obviously. The people who are left behind have to deal with the fallout. You know, Abimelech, there was fallout. Samson, there was fallout, mostly for the Philistines. But his family suffered the fallout of it. Saul, his armor bearer is not mentioned much afterwards, but Saul, his head and his body are separated from each other. His body is pinned to the wall at Beth Shan. And the men of Jabesh Gilead come and they take his body down and they go bury it. And then later on, his bones are dug back up and burned. And that's Saul's aftermath. Ahithophel's aftermath, he puts his house in order. He takes care of it himself. Obviously, his granddaughter, if she were his granddaughter, Bathsheba, she's going to mourn, she's going to grieve, and she's going to know why he hung himself. And she knows why. There's going to be fallout. Suicide is not done in a vacuum. There's fallout to the loved ones. There's fallout to other people. It's never in isolation. So next week, we're going to look at probably the most obscure suicide, and that of King Zimri of Israel. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. You can correspond with me by emailing broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net for email. And the Lord willing, see you here again next week on the I Want to Know More podcast.